You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
All right, morning enthusiasts. Do you struggle to get out of bed in the morning? How about losing your energy by midday? Do you experience brain fog in the morning or lack of motivation? Well, you are not alone. I heard you loud and clear, and that's why I created the Hit Savers app. I have great news. It is live. So go to the Google Play Store and the Apple Store to download it for your best morning routine ever. You'll get more energy, mental clarity, productivity, and it will even position you to find your purpose. That's right. Hit Savers will prime you to get up, dress up, and show up in your life every single day. Go to www.luneedlewis.com/hitsaversapp to download it for free today. I'll see you in there. Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Luneed Lewis, and today I have the honor of introducing a very special guest to the show, Courtney Harris. Courtney is a skilled, compassionate coach with 11 years of experience in supporting teens and families. As a certified positive discipline parent educator and parenting coach, academy trainer, Courtney utilizes experiential activities to guide parents through their ongoing process of being in relationships with their child. With a background in secondary education, creative writing, and social and emotional learning, and master's in special education, Courtney's approach with tweens, teens, and young adults integrates empathy, accountability, and creativity. Courtney has mentored over 1,000 teenagers in their journey of finding their voice and sense of self. Courtney, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Luneed. I'm happy to be here.
I'm glad you are here. We're going to talk about all things teen coaching and then your morning routine towards the end. We think about teens, and I'm like, when I was a teenager, I didn't want to deal with me, but here you are, you're running into it, embracing it and wanting to work with teens and actually being a guidance for them. Tell us about that. How did that come about?
Yeah, so it came about really just in my journey as a classroom teacher, where I got the sense that, you know, some students, they were looking for a mentor that was someone that wasn't necessarily a family member, which I think it's great to have family mentors. But, you know, I got the sense that they were looking for someone that wasn't family and maybe, you know, even wasn't a teacher, because in the teaching dynamic, you still have to give grades and follow these particular curriculums and whatnot. And so I got the sense that there was just this need for other adult figures to sort of wrap their support around teenagers. And, you know, as I was thinking of that, I realized, you know, my own teen years, I so much wanted that. And I also, my teen years were quite the struggle. And I felt isolated, even though my parents, I think, you know, they were doing their best to check in with me to see how I was doing. I think they knew I was struggling, but I really didn't have the words, and for some reason didn't feel quite empowered or comfortable enough to really tell them how I was really feeling. And so I just, you know, this all kind of came together and converged into this idea of life coaching for teens and just being another neutral but supportive witness for teens and young adults.
Yeah, it's really hard to open up to our parents sometimes, or our elderly within the family, because then there's that fear of being judged, right?
Yes.
The expectation is so high. And then also there's the dynamic of the family. How do they reprimand? How do they, you know, discipline?
Right. And that's going to vary. Every family will be unique in that. And I think you're right. The way I kind of explain that with teenagers is that, and even to parents too, is that it can just be hard because there's so much emotional history within the family. And that's not a bad thing. It just means that makes it really complex. And, you know, I am just, you know, I don't come in with any of that emotional history. I'm just here to see you where you are today. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just a different dynamic.
Yeah. And you have that, it's on that unbiased view on things.
Yes.
You're coming in. You're coming in from the outside. You have a different way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting work. How do you help teens work towards deep self-awareness and empower them for change?
Yeah. So the way I like to think about it is that I sort of act as a mirror, and I'll reflect back what I'm hearing. I'll reflect back, you know, if I notice a shift in energy as a client is telling me a story or, you know, sharing about something that's going on, I reflect that back and I sort of check in like, does that seem right? Does that feel right? Or does that seem like what you're experiencing? And so really in some cases, I am offering some vocabulary or words and helping them decide, like, does that fit or not? And so we'll just sort of work through that process to where I'm reflecting back and they're becoming more aware of what it is that they're experiencing. Another way that I like to think about my work is that I'm really just there to invite young people to explore all the possibilities. Because, you know, in this current stage of life where we are with so much social media and just tons of media input, whether it be social media, movies, TV, whatever, it's almost like young people feel like there's a particular prescription or it's kind of like a game board. Like, I have to move my piece to the next spot and it looks like this. And, you know, this is the next spot. And it's really, there's not a lot of possibility in that. It just feels like it's quite scripted and narrow. And so the way that I also see my role is to help them broaden that and to explore what would it be like to do something different, or, you know, what are the other possibilities?
Giving them the option. I'm also hearing as you're speaking that you're helping them find the words to express themselves. So do you,
yes.
You're finding a lot of, you're reframing their,
yes.
their wording. So, cause we get flustered. I remember being a teenager and flustered, and I'm just like, forget about it. I don't want to talk about it. Leave me alone. Those are my only words. And so I can't imagine not having enough the vocabulary to accurately express what I'm feeling. So that's where you come in the mirroring and actually giving them the words.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because it actually is happening more and more in schools that there's programs that are called social and emotional learning programs. So there is more explicit teaching surrounding emotions and the human experience. But, you know, there's still a very big gap in that. It's like we go to history class and we learn the timelines, or we go to math and we learn particular vocabulary, but our emotional vocabulary is something that we really also have to have experience. You know, we have to have experiences that help us to figure out how the different words match up with our experiences. And so, yes, it is about helping them find the words that match what they're going through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's really challenging at that age.
Yes.
Because even growing up, we didn't have those the emotional class that you're mentioning. So it's good to hear that it's coming out.
Yes.
We're considering the emotional intelligence of our youth, because they will be the leaders, right? They're coming up to run in businesses.
Exactly.
And so it's crucial. For me, I remember coming out of my shell is because I had a mentor outside of the family. And mm-hmm. I was part of this, the program called Summer Search Program, where they take you on, send you out to excursions throughout the summer for your summer break. And then they help you throughout the year in school, and also mm-hmm. help get you into college and get you out of college. It was really phenomenal.
Oh, and that's beautiful. That's so awesome.
Yeah. Without that, I don't know if I would have made it.
Well, and it's interesting, like you said, right? Because you had somebody outside of the family, and it doesn't mean that it's in competition with family. It just means it's a different type of support. And it sounds like that was really impactful for you. I'm so glad.
Yeah, it's additional. It's absolutely. It's additional support that was necessary. And resources, too, because I grew up without the resources. But that having that expert really, really helped up with direction and guidance.
I love that.
How do you, with your, when you're working with the youth, the teens, and you call them tweens too, because they're before teenagers, they're middle school.
Mm-hmm.
How do you inhabit, how do you get habits and patterns ingrained and help them along the way?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think this is a catchphrase, but it's one that resonates, but just knowledge is power. And so as I'm acting as a mirror and as I'm reflecting back, really what I see happening is that young people are deepening their awareness of themselves, right? So they are learning more about what they're their needs are and what their preferences are and like what they need in order to feel their best. And so as we're doing that, you know, I mean, they're building this awareness of themselves and also learning how to care for themselves. And, I guess, yeah, the way that, you know, as I said, I mentioned the exploration of possibility. So sometimes we do talk about like, what would it be like if your morning included a couple different steps? Or what would it be like if your nighttime routine had a couple of different intentional moments to be with yourself, right? So we'll talk about all a range of possibilities, but the idea is that, yes, they become more aware of the rituals and routines that serve them and help them have the best energy or, you know, the just going into the day knowing where they stand. You know, I think that's the starting point, is oftentimes our world is moving so fast, we may not actually realize if our energy is high or if it's low, or if we're feeling, you know, a little bit grumpy or if we're feeling excited, unless we pause to check in. So mm-hmm. That's really the foundation of what we're doing.
So you help them set up habits and patterns that they use in the morning?
Yeah. And I don't have like, you know, here's the three things I think all teenagers should do. But I do invite them to consider a range of possibilities. And so some of those things may be just moments of quiet or creating playlists. It could be journaling. It could be, a big thing I do actually talk about often is sleep, because teenagers need more sleep than most of them are getting. And so we will talk about all of those different types of habits. Sometimes it's including movement. Other times it may be reading. The habits could also be related to limiting technology, because that's not something that I'm just saying from a judgmental point of view that teens are on their tech too much. They're telling me, that they want a break from their technology. So those are all sort of considerations and things we might explore as they're building their best habits.
Mm-hmm. And so putting the phone down, going for a walk, exercising.
Yes.
And playing mm-hmm. sport. How do you hold them accountable?
It depends how they want to be held accountable. So for some clients, they do like to just check in on our next weekly session. And so we'll just kind of go over how did these things go. Other clients, if they want a bit more of a direct accountability throughout the week, they can text me when they did their routine, or if things aren't going well, they can say, hey, this isn't working, what's up? So it depends on what their preference is. It's unique to each client.
And it sounds like you're very available for them.
Yes. I mean, that's definitely a part of what I like about coaching, is that it does have that wraparound of support where you don't have to just wait till you see me the next session. I'm here if there's something you want to celebrate. I'm here if you want a little feedback. And yes, if it's something really big and complex, I might say, oh, wow, that sounds like something that we'll talk about on Tuesday or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's always a space where they can bring a challenge and a celebration and anything in between.
Oh, yeah. What about the parents? How do they get involved and engaged? Mm-hmm. Do they participate in the sessions?
Yeah, that's a great question. So occasionally we will have family sessions, and that's usually if I've shared that idea with the teenager or if they've brought that idea to me and they feel open to doing that family session. You know, if there's something where I can see how we might be able to build a bridge between the two parties, then yes, I like to invite that possibility. The regular, most typical structure is that I have the weekly sessions with teenagers, mm-hmm. and then I also have weekly contact with parents via email. And so what this looks like is that I maintain full confidentiality of the client, of the teenage client. So the parents don't get a play-by-play of this is what we talked about in session. Mm-hmm. However, I will sometimes extract an idea of something that I know the teenager is working on and offer the parents some tools of ways that they can also kind of support that, in ways that they can draw out questions or just offer ongoing support around particular ideas. Other times I might just be curious about, like, just to throw out a random example, if I get the sense that a teenage client is not sleeping very much, I might just flat out ask the parents, like, what do you notice is going on in the nighttime? And like, what are the routines looking like in the household? And then as they share, I can offer some different ideas and tools from that parenting perspective. So to be most clear and simple on this, I really see my work with the parents as offering parenting support. And then the work as teens is just their full confidential space to explore what they're going through.
I mean, it sounds like it's all inclusive. You are all in there.
Yeah, that's true.
You're all up in there. You are with the kids. Yeah. You are with the parent. And how do you draw the line between coaching and counseling?
Great question. So yes, this is not therapy. It's not counseling. It is coaching. And coaching has more of a future focus, more of a where do I want to go? Where do I want to grow focus, where we're not doing a deep dive into your personal history or into personal trauma or family trauma. Of course, that said, it does come up that we talk about the past. I mean, this is how humans are. Mm-hmm. We have patterns based on our past. So yes, of course, I hold space for that. And I do come with a trauma-informed lens, but we're not doing clinical work. So yes, I do work with teenage clients that may identify as being, as having depression or anxiety. And sometimes they're also working with a therapist, and other times what they're working on is well suited for coaching. And so I'm just kind of always checking in with that. And I do have a strong referral network of therapists, at least locally here in Austin. But for clients that live further, you know, I have to sort of expand and reach out to more people to figure out resources for them. But yeah, primarily it's non-clinical. And it's mostly about offering emotional support and what's the word I want to use? Emotional support and just, again, being a compassionate human witness.
Wow. Yeah. It's fascinating. Yeah. I admire what you do.
Oh, thank you. That's so kind.
Yeah. You get the parents involved and you are like the key, because you're also providing other support, right? You're also mm-hmm. thinking about future goals and what would be helpful in helping them thrive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is really good. So tell us, you're not doing this in school. This is your own business. You're not school environment. You do your sessions remotely. You do them in person.
Both. Yes. So I have an office here in Austin, Texas. So I see some clients here at the office, but I also see clients that live anywhere else in the US and even internationally through Zoom. So it's pretty awesome that I can work with folks anywhere, which is really awesome.
Fantastic. And how long have you been in business?
Let's see, 2.5 years.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, you have 11 years of experience.
Yes. Well, yes. I've been in business 2.5 years, but I've been in the role of serving young people and their families for, yeah, how many years? I don't know, 13, 14. Yes, quite a lot.
So how do you get up, dress up, and show up to do what you do and support in the way you do?
Like how my morning
routine. Yeah.
Yes, my morning routine. So, well, it's interesting. So I would be untruthful if I said that I don't look at my phone, towards the beginning of the morning. And so I've created a new habit of going to the New York Times crossword puzzle each morning, because that's kind of just my way of saying, oh, it's okay if I do a thing on my screen, because it's also sort of a waking up activity. So while I'm in the kitchen boiling water for my oatmeal and boiling water for my matcha tea, I'll do the New York Times mini crossword. And every day I drink warm water with lime in it. And that's just a digestive system wake up and soothing with the warm water just to get my body going.
Yeah, helps with detox. A glass of water a day, exactly. Especially with the lemon.
Yes, exactly. So I do those things and I'm kind of in the kitchen. My partner might be around, you know, we're just kind of like just moving around the kitchen. And then after that, I sit down at my table at my desk. I light a candle, which this has been something I've been doing the last 3 months or so. And it just feels like it's kind of this warming presence. I don't know. As I light the candle, I just feel like I'm bringing this sense of warmth into my space and really just kind of honoring my rituals. Mm-hmm. And so after I light the candle, then I sit down and I do my morning pages, which came through Julia Cameron's book called The Artist's Way. And really what it's about is doing sort of a mental dump of whatever's on the brain, whatever's coming up. And she's prescription for this is to write 3 pages or approximately 30 minutes or so. And so I don't necessarily always do 3 pages. I just kind of write until it feels like I've dumped it all out. And then let's see.
What are you writing?
Well, it's stream of consciousness. So it's anything that is anything that's coming up, it's usually something of an emotional nature, or if I may have some stresses about the day, about some appointments that I have coming up, or what I'm going to write about in my next weekly blog, or, you know, just kind of working through anything that may be a bit of a stressor. So it's not a to-do list.
It's not writing down goals. It's not prioritizing what you're doing for the day.
It's nothing structured, and it's actually not meant to be something that anybody would read or that I would even reread. It's meant to just be like really rough form, so I don't worry about grammar, spelling, handwriting. It's just throw some stuff down on a page and let it out.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I really recommend the Artist Way. It's beautiful. It's a 12-week, which I always take longer than 12 weeks to go through it, but it's 12 weeks of different creative activities. But the one thing you always, well, the two things that you do throughout the entire book in your ongoing practice are the morning pages and a weekly artist date, which is just taking yourself on some kind of experience that leads you to a space of creativity. So it could quite literally be going to a museum, but it could also be sitting at a park and looking up at the sky.
Okay.
Yeah.
some quiet time.
Yes. And then the other thing I forgot to mention that I've been doing is I read a book, How to Not Always Be Working by Marlee Grace. And she basically talks about how, you know, with our phones, we could always be working. And so she created this silly but practical idea called the phone box. And you literally, when you don't want to be on your phone and you're trying to do your creative work or your work, you put your phone into a box. And so I've been doing that, and that's part of my morning routine when I do my morning pages. And it's been very nice because the whole out of sight, out of mind thing really does work.
Put the phone in a box. I like that notion.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I have to incorporate that because I do everything out of my phone. It's bizarre. I got the iPhone 10 so I can have Microsoft, Excel, everything on it. So I have no hindrance. I don't need to pull out my laptop. If I can do it on my laptop, I can do it on my phone.
Yes. That's right.
That's the busy world we live in. You know, it just calls us to do more.
Right. And that's why I think the whole premise of your podcast and this conversation about morning habits is nice, because it to me is about slowing down too and stripping away some of the extra stuff and trying to simplify.
Yeah. And then do it best in the morning when your creativity is high. Do it best in the morning where the rest of the world is still sleeping. Do it in the morning. So you give yourself the first 10 to 15 minutes of the day, and then you let the world in. And then you are available for everyone else. But you got to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And these are the tools. Courtney, how can we connect with you?
So you can find me at Courtney Harris Coaching. That's on Instagram, Facebook, and my website is CourtneyHarrisCoaching.com. And those are the best ways to find me.
Fantastic. Morning enthusiasts, you've heard it here first. This has been Courtney Harris, and she is a teen coach. And it was fascinating hearing about how to help teens work towards deep self-awareness and in getting them empowered actions and getting them more routines, habits. Like, that's important. That's an early good age to start establishing those healthy habits in the morning so they can become more tuned in to their feelings, their emotion, and they actually have the words to express accurately what's going on with them. And it's powerful what you do, Courtney. And I thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you, Luneed. And happy morning to everybody.
Fantastic. Thank you again. That was good.
All right, morning enthusiasts. Do you struggle to get out of bed in the morning? How about losing your energy by midday? Do you experience brain fog in the morning or lack of motivation? Well, you are not alone. I heard you loud and clear, and that's why I created the Hit Savers app. I have great news, it is live, so go to the Google Play Store and the Apple Store to download it for your best morning routine ever. You'll get more energy, mental clarity, productivity, and it will even position you to find your purpose. That's right, Hit Savers will prime you to get up, dress up, and show up in your life every single day. Go to www.luneedlewis.com/hitsaversapp to download it for free today. I'll see you in there.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.